Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon to you. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. If you miss any of our live shows, go to the podcast page. All archived there. Sean with you. Steve Jones on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio as we speak. Of course, always brought to you by Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, in the market for a great truck. Trucktober now underway at Sunbury Motors. You can check out sunburymotors.com. Good lineup of guests as we go through the week. We'll have Penn State beat writer Jordan Rodriguez. She's scheduled to join us tomorrow. And also we'll be checking in with Bucknell head football coach Joe Susan as the Bison will be starting a little quick two-game homestand. Next Saturday, they've got Colgate this Saturday. And, of course, we'll have that over on Eagle 107. Quick traffic update as we get things rolling. There is a traffic accident in Northumberland at the corner of Water and Orange. So you may want to avoid that for a bit as they get that cleaned up. That's Water and Orange and Nori.
I'm not involved.
No, you're not. that's not what slowed you down. No.
No. So.
How we doing? All good?
Yeah.
Good.
All good here.
Same here. A beautiful day.
Neil Coulong today. We'll talk about the Steelers. And Josh Getzlaff.
Yeah, I got the Pens cranking up on Thursday. Hard to believe.
Yeah, we'll get
short off season. It seems like the off seasons are very short and go quick after you win the trophy. Why is that?
Well, they also had the World Cup of Hockey this year.
Yeah.
Now I think the World Baseball Classic is next year.
Oh, can't wait for that.
Yep. Another one of those circle the calendar moments.
So the burning question is, where really did Sidney Crosby get hurt? Was it something World Cup of Hockey and then it kind of creeped up during practice last Friday, or did it really happen at practice? So we'll get a thumbnail sketch from Josh on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll find out.
Yep.
A little bit more. Which is fine. But we'll find out. Get some real info on that. Go from there. Now, have you had a chance to watch the Blue White Tailgate Show?
As far as I know, and I hope I'm wrong on this, but every time I tune into the Wilkes-Barre My Network TV channel, I haven't found it like the last two seasons. Now, I remember watching it. I want to say when Phil Gross was on with you, I want to say that was maybe 3 years ago, maybe four.
Well, Trey Bauer's on now.
Right. So it has been a while. Maybe they took the show off their channel. So,
no, I think they still carry it.
I'll have to keep looking around because I remember it used to be on at like midnight or 12:30. I would finish up with Seals game day here and drive home and I'd be able to catch the beginning. I'd be strung out after all the Friday night football. I wouldn't go to bed till after 1 o'clock and watch the show.
I know we're on in Harrisburg, York. I know we're on in Philadelphia. WPHL in Philly carries it now.
Todd from York was on the show with you.
Todd Sadowski's been co-hosting the show with me for a while.
He's terrific.
And Todd, he is such a great guy. He really is. We'll get these guys on the show here pretty soon. But Trey Bauer always tells us what he doesn't like. In other words, he doesn't like Notre Dame. He says it every week. I don't like Notre Dame. Okay. I don't like Ole Miss. I don't like Miami. it's like everything. And he's blunt about it. He's I don't like these people. <You're> like, okay. So we're going to do a segment tomorrow when we tape the show of what Trey doesn't like. since it's the bye week, we're going to do one of like, what doesn't Trey like? It's an entertainment show, for goodness sakes.
It is. It is. Yeah. Or as I like to call it, infotainment.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, yeah. I guess there's some info in there. Sure. But what does it? We're going to do an entire segment of what he doesn't like tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to have to scratch an email and I think send that to my network TV over in Northeast PA and find out, just to find out exactly when it's on, if they're running. I hope they are running it.
But I hope they are. I hope they are too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, the more the merrier.
And Kerry Stroh, of course, John Stroh, Sunbury native. He's been a part of the show for, the backbone of the show behind the scenes. And Andrew Calista has been on, quite a bit too.
He runs the show.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Stroh.
Yeah.
I mean, he runs it. He's really good.
He is.
Yeah, he's really good at what he does. Yeah. Despite what he may tell you about me. No.
He hasn't dropped any new knowledge on you lately, so that should make you feel better.
That's right. Despite that. We have a good time with it. A really good time. But what doesn't Trey like? An entire segment. We even contemplated two segments because there's just so many. So because there are so many, we thought, maybe we ought to do more than just one.
That's 1 hour show, right?
Well, we're thinking about doing a second hour just on that. There you go.
The infomercials can wait.
Yeah. We're going to do a second hour. That's great. Love it. That's great. Oh, my goodness. We got that coming up.
So when he gets to the part about he hates Miami, you're going to pull up the file footage of the team going down off the plane in 86?
I'm sure they'll come up with something, but we have to do an entire segment on what he doesn't like. Because every week I don't like them. I don't like them. To the point where you make fun of it. you can't help but not make fun of it, so we do. And good news about our show, nothing from WikiLeaks about it. So, all right, we'll come back with more in a moment. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every 41 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest before someone gets your truck. Now is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC. Choose from over four city blocks of new Fords. See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks. Trucktoberfest means savings up to 12.5 grand on new F-150s. Every new F-150 at SMC will be equipped with a genuine Ford bedliner and a complimentary tonneau cover. Trucktoberfest means $4,000 off every 2017 Ford Escape, and they're priced as low as $20,880. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for up to 72 months is available. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
Great to have you with us. Josh Getzoff today. We're going to talk with him about the Penguins and their opener and about Sidney Crosby. And then we're going to have Neil Kulong to talk about the Steelers today. So, a lot going on. Then tomorrow, Joe Susan on the show tomorrow. So, and we'll talk with him about what was a great win. That really was a great win for them over Holy Cross. I mean, you're down 17-0. You're down 20-7. You win the game 21-20. So.
Yeah, I thought the only wow stat that came out over the weekend was the total offensive output that Rutgers had against Michigan. But boy, you got to stack this up there too, with Bucknell only holding Holy Cross to 28 yards total offense in the second half.
And, right.
Yeah, it was just great that Joe was saying in his weekly email, when he told his team in the locker room, we're not letting them do anything in the second half. So, wow.
Right. Well, they had them, and based on talking with Joe, they had the Holy Cross's offense figured out. And because they had it figured out, they said, okay. And you notice the time of possession of this game was incredibly long. I think they had the ball nearly 21 minutes in the second half. You control the ball 21 minutes, and the other guy only has it 9.
Yeah, you gas the defense, and then you get the other. Then when they finally get the ball on offense, and if all they can do is a 3-and-out, well, yeah, that's definitely lopsided.
Right. I mean, 21-9? I mean, really. I mean, that was just a dominating second half. And he also, another key, too, is they had an opportunity to safety, and they made sure they didn't get a safety. Why? Because you can onside kick the free kick. You don't want that. Took knees at the end. Why do you take knees? Because, again, what do you risk? So,
that gives them a nice springboard opening win in Patriot League play, and next two at home, and with Colgate coming up on Saturday.
Right.
A couple back-to-back 1 o'clock games.
Right. So, yeah, and back-to-back.
And the return of Kevin Hurd to the booth, if all goes well. So our fingers are crossed for Kev.
Okay. Just kidding.
I know.
He sounded, I thought, good. I thought when he was on the show Friday.
Yeah, then he said he was going to be going to the Lewisburg-Danville game on Friday night. I should have gave him a text late Friday night or Saturday morning to see how it was holding up, despite the fact of the game going into overtime.
Right.
Maybe a little too much excitement for him.
Did Danville win?
Lewisburg won in overtime, 10-7. Much needed win for Lewisburg. So.
Okay.
If they can string 4 in a row here, they may do a little bit of damage in districts and play spoiler for a couple of teams and maybe squeeze their way into a bottom seed, come early November.
What I find interesting about you talking about the playoffs is that when on this show, the playoff seedings were discussed after week 2.
What? That's right. I do remember that. let's see. This past season, last month, week 2 was Labor Day weekend, so I was in holiday weekend mode at that point. You don't have to worry about that for me, that's for sure.
Yeah. Week 2. This is the way I've got it all lined up. There's still 8 weeks left.
Although that would have been interesting to hear that from him this year, just because of now with the classification going up to 6A and a couple of schools moving around.
Yeah.
But he had other fish to fry week 2.
Yeah. That's... Oh, well. But he sounded better. Sounded like he's doing fine. I asked Doug about, you know, how much he missed him, and Doug responded, "Who? I mean, I didn't, you know, I just didn't get the." Just didn't get a warm and fuzzy out of that.
That would have been a long roadie to Worcester for Doug.
You know how many Wendy's there are between Worcester and Sunbury? Is Wendy's a sponsor on the Bucknell broadcast? It should be.
They should, yes. But they are not.
Yeah.
I think their deal on the road trips, they would try to find CeCe's Pizza. I know there used to be a CeCe's Pizza in State College.
There was.
Yeah, it shut down a year or so ago.
Yeah, it shut down. I think you were able to go up and grab slice. They had a whole series of pizzas there. They had slices there, and you can go up and get them. Now, have you ever gone to Old Forge?
I've never been there.
Old Forge is the pizza capital of maybe Pennsylvania, if not even a wider area than that.
And for that reason, I should have been there several times. Why I haven't been there, that's all on me.
I had to go this long time, Penn State fan, one of the nicest people on the face of the earth, Lou Gatto. He and his wife, Angie, two of the nicest people ever. Angie passed away first, and then Lou passed away. So the service, the viewing, was up in Old Forge. That's where he was from. So I drove up there for it. And so now I go there, and needless to say, I start getting all these recommendations from everybody about where to go. You got to get an Old Forge pizza. You got to be driving home. You got to get an Old Forge pizza. I'm like, I said, okay. He said, pick one. And I think it was the Shrives and the McGloins were the ones that told me a place to go. And so I went in there, and it was very, very good. It's interesting. It's in a tray. Okay, it's in a tray. There was like 15 of these places, all within a block of each other. It was like going to trying to find a Starbucks in Manhattan. Like every other street. Okay, that's the way it was at Old Forge with pizza places. And it was really, really good. You'd like it. It was really good. So, yeah, there we go.
Bucket list. Got to get there.
Yeah. Oh, it's not that far from you, for goodness sakes. Take the suit with you. You're not doing anything right now.
Should do that.
Oh, that's right. It probably at the moment isn't on his diet.
Oh, that's true. Maybe not, yeah. I doubt he'll tag along and watch me eat. I wouldn't put him through that.
Oh, right now he has no willpower. He'd eat the whole tray. And the tray. Not good.
Then he would say, the tomato, that's good for me. Lots of vitamin C and lycopene.
And look, cheese. Okay. Huh? Huh?
Calcium.
Calcium. Is milk. There? Yeah. Huh? Huh? Pepperoni. That's the meat group. Josh Getzloff next on the Penguins. Next half hour. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Josh Getzloff this half hour. Neil Coulon next half hour. Joe Susan tomorrow. This day in sports history, in 1924, the Boston Bruins and the Montreal Maroons were granted NHL franchises. In 1925, the New York Football Giants played their first NFL game. They lost to Providence 14-0. That's an outrage. 1975, New York Islander Brian Trottier, his first career hat trick. 1980, the Dallas Mavericks won their first game at Reunion Arena when they beat San Antonio 103-92. Reunion Arena now is a grass lot. They tore it down. Just to let you know how long I go back, I broadcast two games in Reunion Arena in my career. 1984, Mario Lemieux made his debut in the NHL against the Bruins, and he scored on his very first shot. 1998, Steve Young of the 49ers became the 20th player in NFL history to throw for 30,000 yards. 2004, the Astros won a postseason series for the first time in their 43-year history. They beat the Braves 12-3 in Game 5. The Astros had lost seven consecutive playoff series, three of them to Atlanta before that. And that is this day in sports history. All right. Let's bring in Josh Getzlaf, Penguins Radio Network. Josh, great to hear you. Must be hockey time again.
It is, Steve. It's awesome to be back with you. Been looking forward to touching base with you again, and happy hockey's right around the corner.
Let's start with Crosby. Look, it's October. It's not February. So is there more caution just to make sure because it is October and not February?
Yeah, I think it's just a situation where obviously everyone knows his history. Everyone knows, what went down in 2011 and the games that he missed as a result of that concussion. And I think that it's more of a, he's got to go through the steps. He's got to go through the baseline testing, and they have to monitor it and then progress him through. I don't think that there's, and there shouldn't be, a rush to bring him back. But obviously it's a shame because of where he was playing. I mean, if you look at everything he's been doing up until this, you could argue that he was potentially set to have one of his best years ever based off everything else. So it's definitely, I think, a wait-and-see approach with him. But the good news is he obviously did skate this morning at the practice facility. He said he's feeling better. So we'll keep you posted on that, obviously, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, no question about it. I felt last year was really the first time where I saw him play like the earlier years, where he really went all out into corners. Didn't back off or shy away from any kind of contact. Because let's face it, all of us would do that. So that's not a criticism. It's just an observation. Did you sense that the way he played last year was more like the early years in his life before the concussions?
Yeah. I mean, that second half of the season was just unbelievable. Like, thinking back on that and looking what he did statistically and how dominating he was on a night-to-night basis there was really something to behold. And then, I mean, obviously he carried that over like into the World Cup, playing so well there. And it's just a shame that last Friday, as he said in practice, he suffered that injury that ended up being a concussion because of where he was trending. But I agree with you. I think last year it was just super impressive to watch him kind of just locked in, dialed in and like ready to go every single time he'd step on the ice in the playoffs and in the end of the regular season as the Penguins were fighting for, at one point, playoff positioning before they really established themselves with that hot streak down the stretch into the postseason. He was the guy that really carried them. He was the team MVP, as voted on by his teammates, and finished right up there in Hart Trophy voting across the league as well. So a guy that, as you said, was playing some of his best hockey towards the end of last year, and it's impossible to replace someone like that. But the good news is the Penguins, as far as they're concerned, I don't know if there's any team as deep as they are in all positions. And Aaron, you're talking 2-3 guys deep below the NHL lineup. So I think that they're capable of, sustaining it without him, but it's obviously a huge guy not in the lineup.
At the moment, how does Mike Sullivan want to handle his lines based on this news?
I think it's going to be kind of a wait and see over the next couple of days. Obviously, the opener coming up Thursday against Washington, and we'll see how he dictates that. But, Evgeny Malkin obviously will be asked to step up and do a lot more. Nick Bonino will be asked to step up and do a lot more. I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Fair and Matt Cullen were split up. And okay. Eric Fair was maybe the fourth line center, with Matt Cullen centering the third line. And I know that those two played together with Fair rather on the right wing and Cullen in the middle on the fourth line last year. But Fair is a natural center, and he said in the past he prefers to play that position. So I would not be surprised if, at least off the bat, Fair gets a crack there. And he did play a bit at center in preseason as well, before all the injury, obviously. So they gave him a look there and got him maybe a little bit better of a feel back in the middle, which is a totally different position. And a lot of guys will say is the toughest position to play. is the centerman. So it'll be interesting to watch to see how they approach it. The good news is they've had a couple of days now to kind of readjust and figure things out, because, you know, Washington obviously will come in hungry and really looking to prove something after how things went down last year. But I really believe that the Penguins' depth is going to show through again, and it did on numerous occasions last year. And this is as big a spot as you're going to get, at least this early in the season, to prove something, and they'll have an opportunity to do that.
You know, it's interesting. Whenever a team loses a closer for any period of time, they usually take the top setup guy and they move him to the closer. But there's a domino effect of that, who then becomes the next setup guy. So with Crosby currently not playing, who moves up from the second power play unit to then go to the number one unit, and then who then replaces that person on the second power play unit?
Well, it looked like, based on the practice yesterday, and again, this could all change. Mike Sullivan and Rick Tocchet are both in charge of running the Penguins' power play, and they may have other ideas up their sleeves before Thursday night happens. But based on what we saw yesterday, it was the same four in that first power play unit, with Letang, Malkin, Kessel, and Hornquist, but Nick Bonino was at center. So that's not necessarily a surprise, because, as you said, you know, you're moving guys up in slots, and Bonino does center the second power play unit. So he's moving up to that first power play unit, at least in practice. The second unit, they had Scott Wilson, who's really been a pleasant surprise. And I don't even know if pleasant's the right word. I think he kind of almost picked up where he left off before he injured himself last year towards the end of the regular season. And he's been really impressive in the preseason. The guy definitely to watch as another young guy that can make an impact in this Penguins lineup, especially with Brian Rust injured. Scott Wilson is a guy to keep an eye on early on, and it looks like, based on practice, he's up front on that second power play unit with Chris Kunitz and Connor Sheary. Okay. Trevor Daley and Justin Schultz were back on the point. So that's something to keep an eye on there. Again, very fluid, like, as these next couple of days progress, but it'll be something to watch.
And then, of course, Murray's been out, you know, and so you know, give me the three goaltenders, one through three.
Well, it would have been a totally different situation if we had talked about 3 or 4 hours ago, but the Penguins did claim Mike Condon off waivers from the Montreal Canadiens this afternoon. So he'll likely, I would assume, be the backup. I think Mike Sullivan had said earlier today the plans are that Tristan Jarry, who was really, really good in the preseason, and I know that the organization has high hopes for, I think the plan is to get him back down to Wilkes-Barre Scranton and give him regular starts, as opposed to ride the bench as a backup in the NHL, because they still feel he's young and developing, and it's a better opportunity for him to play every night as opposed to watch. So I think that's going to be the situation as far as he's concerned. I think come opening night, Mike Condon will probably be the backup to Marc-Andre Fleury. And then the 3-to-6-week ratio puts you worst-case scenario for Matt Murray, him returning, actually, ironically enough, on November 5th in San Jose against the Sharks.
Oh, okay.
If it does go all the way through. So it'll be interesting to see if that actually transpires fully. Murray is skating on his own as well, so, and it's a hand injury, so he's obviously able to still keep up aerobically and everything that he needs to do to keep himself fit and in shape. But I think if you're looking at the depth chart right now, based on the news today, it's probably Fleury is your starter. Mike Condon's probably the backup to start the year, and then Tristan Jarry will be your starter in Wilkes-Barre Scranton.
As a starting point, where is this team better than last year? And as a starting point, what concerns you at the moment?
I think the definite concern is obviously Crosby's health, and just in the sense of how long it will last, and it's so unpredictable with concussions. That's the the scary and crazy thing about it, across all sports, not just in hockey. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. But I really do believe the depth can show through in that situation. And as far as what they're stronger at, I mean, I think it's up and down the board. I mean, you're talking about a team that can roll four lines. I was talking with Phil Bork, our color analyst on Penguins Radio Network, a couple of days ago about the fact that the Penguins have this unbelievable ability to play their fourth line guys 14, 15 minutes a night, when most teams, coaches will hesitate to play their guys over 11 minutes.
Right.
So it's just a unique situation. And the guys can score, too, that they put out there. They're not just eating up ice time and trying to spark them. They can spark them in ways aside from physicality, because they've all been able to find the back of the net. So I think that is something that is quite frankly, unmatched across the rest of the National Hockey League, what the Penguins have with the depth offensively. The blue line will still be a question mark just because of the sense that I think people realize that although they were looked at as a weakness last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs, they were not. But there's also the sense that maybe they overperformed in the playoffs last year, and that's great as far as winning the cup is concerned, but how does that translate to an 82-game season? So that'll be something to watch as well. But and again, if you go back into the net, Marc-Andre Fleury, this is a guy who I think a lot of people forget. Who knows where the Penguins end up last year, if not for him, in the beginning of the season, because they were not very good, as everyone remembers, to start last season. But they still had 15 wins when Mike Johnston was let go as head coach, and it's a safe bet to say that at least 13 of those were just because of Marc-Andre Fleury.
Right.
So he'll obviously have a net to begin with the Murray injury to start this year, and if there's ever going to be a guy who's motivated to prove that he should be the starter, I think it's going to be Fleury, and he has a chance to prove that right away.
One final question, then I'll let you go. Back in the old days, I'm going to talk about the 60s and the early 70s, the AHL had some great hockey being played because these are guys with limited number of teams in the NHL, couldn't get in the league. How good is the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins based on the depth the Penguins have?
Oh, my gosh, Steve. I'll tell you, we've been talking about this a lot during training camp. They are going to be one of the most fun teams to watch in the American Hockey League because the depth, as you mentioned, the depth the Penguins have, it just trickles onto that roster. And guys that maybe would be a little buried in many NHL lineups because they would be good enough to make the roster but not necessarily good enough to solidify as a top six, top nine forward, they're going to be a top three, top six forward in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And you're talking guys like Carter Rowney, who's so impressive in the preseason. Jake Guentzel, who I know the Penguins are extremely high on. Those are a couple of guys to watch up there. I mean, you obviously have some great veteran presences returning and Tom Kostopoulos, and then a couple other younger talented guys like Dominic Simon and Jean-Sebastien Dee up front. These guys are extremely talented players, and you have to wonder if they weren't in the Penguins organization, if they may not be on NHL rosters for opening night. But that's just the beauty that the Penguins have right now, is that an unbelievable depth up front. And then you're looking at a guy in Tristan Jarry that really proved himself to be extremely capable in the preseason, and he'll be a net for them at least to start as their starting goaltender. And he was extremely solid for them last year at points when Matt Murray was called up to the Penguins for the rest of the season. He was the one who shouldered the load in Wilkes-Barre until the playoffs. And they have Casey DeSmith behind him, who also was impressive and actually really showed out in the Calder Cup playoffs last year for Wilkes-Barre Scranton. DeSmith did. So I think that they're a team that is going to be as exciting to watch as any in the American Hockey League, and definitely one that, I mean, you talk about the players of the future with the Penguins, and I think a lot of people think, oh, well, this team is loaded. They don't really have any players of the future. But if last year's any indication, there are a lot of guys that could potentially make impacts in a few months, let alone a few years, that are starting this year in Wilkes-Barre Scranton.
Always great to talk with you because it is hockey time again. Thanks so much, Josh. Appreciate the time very much.
Yes, sir, Steve. No problem. Look forward to talking with you soon.
Josh Getzoff from the Penguins Radio Network. Next half hour, we talk Steelers with Neil Coulon. Tomorrow, Matt Leon on the Eagles. As we continue on News Radio 1070, WKOK. Great to have you with us. One quick note, and I know someone made a comment on with our Facebook page about Joe Julius getting hit.
Yeah, I want to thank Rich for liking our Facebook page. Hope you can do the same too, folks. Love to hear from you anytime. He mentioned, he made the comment about another player taking a hit on Joey Julius. Of course, that was the first play of the second half in the Penn State-Maryland game. He says there has to be some responsibility placed on the coaches. I'll let you take it from here.
Actually, both coaches suspended the players. Jalen Waters was suspended for the next game by Tracy Clays at Minnesota, so he did not play or participate in last week's game. And Isaiah Davis is suspended for this week's game by DJ Durkin. So the coaches did take action on the suspended players and suspended him for the next game.
Here's the reason why each player got thrown out is quite simple. The ball was dead each time. In fact, when Waters went after Julius, right, it was actually the first time that bothered me because he got in that scrum and he had him pinned down on the ground and that was bad. When he hit Julius the second time, yeah, he hit him. There's no question about that. But the first one I thought was more egregious than actually the hit. The reason he got thrown out on the second one is the ball sailed through the end zone, hit the ground, the play's dead. Then he hit him. Well, you're thrown out of the game. On the Davis play, Julius kicked off, tried to hook it, but he hooked it out of bounds. Boom, play's dead. Then Davis hit him. Each head coach reacted the same way. They suspended that player for the next game. So they're not, you know, it's, I realize it's, you can talk about it, think about it, but I want everyone to remember something too. Joe Julius is not a kicker hanging back, waiting for, to be the last line of defense. He's running down the field, and he's a part of the mix. Well, if you're part of the mix, you're going to get hit. The reason those two guys were thrown out is that each time the ball was dead, and it would have happened with any player. For example, Garrett Taylor ran down, and Garrett Taylor got hit after the whistle. That player probably would have been thrown out and also would have, they're obviously going at him, but he's putting himself into the mix. He's making tackles. So if I'm coaching special teams, I'm telling him, look, you got to get him. You have to account for him. He's not hanging back like most kickers. So I think there's got to be a little balance here when you look at what's happening with each case. And as for the coaches, obviously the coaching staffs of the two teams, Minnesota and Maryland respectively, did not take it lightly. They suspended each player for the next game. So I think you got to be, I understand the emotion of it, but I also think you got to be fair about it, too. Just some thoughts. Random thoughts from a random guy.
And we love the comments. Keep them coming.
Yeah, I understand the comment completely.
Oh,
I mean,
sure,
also,
me too.
It also gives us a chance to talk about it. And to be fair about it. And, the players being coached up to go after him. Yeah, they're being coached up to account for him, yeah. Because guess what? He's making tackles. So, I mean, guess what? You don't get a free pass running down the field if you're involved in the play. If they were going after him and he was, he kicked off at the 35 and he's hanging back around midfield and they deck him, you are going after him. But if you are, if he's running downfield, you account for him. The problem is that at each case, the ball was dead, then he got hit. And that's why they got personal fouls. That's why they got thrown out of the game. And that's why each coach ended up suspending him, because it went way over the line. But each coach did suspend the player. So obviously they did not take it lightly and go, pop, that's the way it goes. And that's not what they did. And I think in an area of fairness here, you've got to be able to mention certain things that you know that they've done. But Isaiah Davis has been suspended for the Maryland-Minnesota game by DJ Durkin. Jalen Waters will be able to play in the game. But the reason he'll be able to play in the game is he served his one-game suspension last week. Hope that answers the question, and I appreciate the question very much.
Yeah, keep the comments coming in. If you've liked our Facebook page, you can post your message there or send an email, stevejones@wkok.com.
All right, Neil Coulong, next hour. We're brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.